97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This sounds like a Ryan Wiggins demanded song, but it's really Will Scharf that is in studio with us right now.
Oh, man. Nice. All right.
It's Wiggins America. We're just living in it.
Is he paying you? Is he compensating you to be here? I hope not.
I'm going to learn how to cut audio so that I can cut that piece of audio.
All right.
You're going to learn how to do it, huh?
It'll be ready in 2026.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Will Scharf in studio with us. He's a Donald Trump attorney, candidate for Missouri Attorney General, and a former federal prosecutor at the Eastern District of Missouri. Welcome back.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
You busy guy?
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple weeks. We actually just got another decision on this ongoing gag order saga in New York this morning. So we've been scrambling to figure out how to deal with that.
But, I read an article, and I think it was from NBC News, and it was talking about how the judge there admonished one of the prosecution, one of Jack Smith's attorney there, and was like, I don't like your tone.
Yeah, down in Florida, that's Judge Cannon in the Southern District of Florida case. I mean, we're in hearings there today, actually. We were yesterday as well. But, I mean, Jack Smith's team has real problems with that prosecution, serious issues of prosecutorial misconduct, evidence tampering, evidence custody issues.
Slow down a second here. Let's talk about these things.
Yeah,
You're listing all of these things that should be, I would think, detrimental to Jack Smith's case in their pursuit to capital GT get Trump. The problems that you're talking about, you said evidence tampering, other things. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so I think there are three big issues that your listeners should know about in that Florida case. And remember, when the Florida documents case first came down, this was after the Mar-a-Lago raid, all the media, they breathlessly covered this thing. They said this was the most dangerous case against Trump. What's actually happened is that case is on the verge of just totally falling apart. Three big issues there. First, we've challenged the constitutionality of Jack Smith's appointment as special counsel. He was never appointed by the president. He has not been confirmed by the Senate. He's operating in this weird legal territory. We believe he's exercising powers that he doesn't have the right to exercise. That could potentially lead to the dismissal of the case. That's one. Two is prosecutorial misconduct. The prosecution has repeatedly lied about the nature of the evidence in court filings and court pleadings. They've repeatedly made misrepresentations to the court. Previously, they've run roughshod over attorney-client privilege. There are endless irregularities in the way that this case has been brought, and we're challenging all of those in court now. And then lastly is evidence tampering and manipulation. What's come out in recent weeks is that during this raid of Mar-a-Lago, there were not serious efforts made to maintain evidence in secure custody, to make sure that evidence was being kept in the way that it was recovered. They moved things around. They replaced documents with cover sheets. They didn't really give us, they didn't hold the evidence the way that they were supposed to.
Will Scharf, if these documents are so top secret, and I mean, like, they're saying that Donald Trump mishandled documents and then they're mishandling the same freaking documents?
That's exactly right. And in addition to that, it's come out that boxes and boxes of these documents were actually shipped to President Trump by the Biden administration, by the Biden GSA. So this idea that President Trump willfully retained classified documents, national defense information, the whole case is just falling apart under the weight of our defense efforts in that case. It's been a lot of fun to be a part of that, to get to see that happen and to get to see that unfold in court. I think there's a real chance that case is dismissed. But at the very least, I think the prosecution there is crippled. And obviously that case is not moving to trial anytime soon, which is important from a political perspective, because President Trump deserves the right to go out and run for president and do what he does best, which is carry his message to the American people.
Well, it's important on this show that we offer our listeners a well-rounded perspective from expert level contributors. And, you know, when you think of the resume and success of Andrew Weissman and his contributions to MSNBC, and, you know, MSNBC, they hold a certain kind of standard. When women are involved in things, it's just inherently better because women are better than men. That's an MSNBC thing. Yeah, I'm bold to say that in here, but gentlemen, I am a woman, so I should know these things, right? This is the MSNBC line of rules. Listen to legal expert from MSNBC, Andrew Weissman, trash Judge Cannon in Florida. This is outrageous.
There's no question she is inexperienced, and she does not have the tools to handle a case that's this complicated. That's clear. There's, you know, everyone's seen that. We also do have the fact that the 11th Circuit, a conservative circuit that she is in, reversed her not once, but twice. And those were conservative judges who just thought she was absolutely bonkers in terms of her rulings. And of course, they both times that she was overturned, her rulings were for Trump. It's not like she's inexperienced and sometimes she gets it right for Trump and sometimes she gets it right or wrong for the government. They're always siding with Donald Trump. And it's very, very hard at this point to see her as being anything other than partisan.
So Weissman thinks that we should only have trials against Donald Trump in Manhattan.
Yeah, Andrew Weissman's a political hack. I mean, that's just absolute garbage. Long before she was a judge, Judge Cannon was a federal prosecutor in the Southern District of Florida, had a long career as a highly successful prosecutor down there. She's been on the bench since 2020. I think she's an outstanding judge. And it's interesting, you know, they mentioned the fact that the 11th Circuit overturned her on some issues relating to the search warrant. They never seem to mention the fact that the New York Appellate Division, which is a highly liberal court, overturned Judge Engoron five times in the New York civil investigation into Donald Trump. They never seem to mention that. So again, it's a question of the left playing to the courts, playing to the referee, playing to the umpire. They want to always have it their way. And as soon as they end up in front of a judge who's willing to call them out on all of their games, on all of the illegality with these investigations and the way that they've proceeded, suddenly they run to the media and they shout and scream about how unfair it is to poor Jack Smith and his band of illegal prosecutors, that they're being held accountable for their illegal acts and their manipulation of the evidence here.
You know, to me, I love to have all my lenses in my bag, and I can pull out this is the MSNBC lens. And I think about taking the MSNBC lens and swapping out the parties or maybe the specific trial. If Judge Mershon in the Bragg case would have been a woman and Fox News would have talking about how she was inexperienced, incapable of that they would have had a field day with the sexism that would be the only thing that mattered. And you're telling me that Judge Cannon in Florida is an accomplished federal prosecutor, has been a judge for 4 years now, and all they're trying to do is discredit the judge and the entire district that she's in. These are the people who play on this. They play the other side of the coin in Washington, D.C., the Department of Justice. What is it? A special prosecutor looks into, I hope I'm saying all these words right, looks into Joe Biden, says, well, he screwed up, but nobody in Washington, D.C. is ever going to find this guy guilty. So we're just not going to try the case. All of this court shopping and judge shopping, it's like the only thing that matters in Florida, it seems, to these people.
Yeah, the left wants to railroad Donald Trump. And anything that gets in the way of their railroad effort against President Trump, they run to the media and they complain and they shout and scream. They've done it with the Supreme Court. They're doing it with Judge Cannon now. They don't want a normal legal process to play out in these cases because they believe that Trump was guilty on day one and they don't believe he should have the rights guaranteed to him under the U.S. Constitution of a fair jury trial, of a fair system of justice, of due process under the law. They believe that the law stops with Donald Trump because of how much they hate Donald Trump. I mean, it's literally Trump derangement syndrome playing out in courtrooms and in the media across America. We see that every day.
Well, the syndrome has created a system, that's for sure. I want to go to Fox News right now. I'm glad we have you in here. We're going to play this clip. Let's listen to Fox News. They are reporting on the fact that Judge Mershon has partially lifted Trump's gag order. Let's listen to the latest
now,
report.
New York Judge Juan Mershon has partially lifted the gag order imposed on former President Donald Trump during his criminal trial in New York City. Because the case is over, Mershon has lifted the parts of the gag order that protected specifically the witnesses and the jurors. But what Trump is still barred from commenting about publicly now is individual prosecutors, court staff, and their family members. This part of the gag order is going to remain in place until Trump receives his sentencing just a few weeks from now. Sandra, we were just talking about this, you were just talking about this with Carrie Urban a few moments ago. It sounds like this is some pretty big movement in favor of the former president.
Yeah, I mean, remember, all throughout this trial, every single time that the former president stepped out in front of that microphone, this was a major frustration of his, this gag order. And the judge has now lifted, to your point, Jillian, parts of the gag order, not in its entirety, because the case is over. Merchant has lifted parts of the gag order that protected witnesses and jurors. And also, as to reiterate, Trump still cannot comment about individual prosecutors, court staff, and their family members. That part of the gag order remains in effect until sentencing is imposed. So there's an entire order that is attached here. Obviously, this is developing right now in the New York versus Trump trial. The judge has partially lifted the gag order. Jillian, there will likely be continued fallout from this.
And so Fox News reporting now that there's been a partial lift in the gag order. This is the New York trial. This is the Manhattan Alvin Bragg trial of the crime that it would take me too long to try to explain something that I don't even understand. So I will just leave it there. Alvin Bragg, partial lifting of the gag order. And Will Scharf is in studio with us. So, Will, can you talk to us a little bit about this when we come back from a break?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. What great timing. Thank you. Thank you, Judge Marchand. I appreciate you so much. Let's take a quick break. Get your questions in if you have some for Will Scharf. We'll ask him on the other side of this break. We've got a couple here from people coming in already, including one from Scoot, who said Trump denied he had documents. He tried to hide documents because of the search warrant. We'll get your thoughts on that one as well when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back. We've got Will Scharf in studio with us. We always love when we get a Will Scharf visit. He's a Trump attorney, candidate for Missouri Attorney General, and a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri. Will, they just announced that partial lift of the gag order in the Judge Marchand Alvin Bragg situation in Manhattan. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so we got an order this morning from Judge Marchand. We'd move to lift the gag order now that the trial's over. There was never a reason for this gag order to be in place in the first place. Absolutely unconstitutional. Absolutely violates President Trump's First Amendment rights. Judge Marchand lifted aspects of the gag order, but he's left it in place with respect to things like his own family
his
members.
Daughter.
So President Trump can't talk about the fact that Judge Marchand's daughter is one of the leading Democrat fundraisers in the country. They've left in place aspects of the gag order with respect to line prosecutors who prosecuted President Trump. That would include Matthew Colangelo, who used to be the number three in Biden's Department of Justice. So we're going to continue challenging this gag order the way that we have. We hope to get President Trump some relief before this debate on Thursday night, because I think the American people deserve to hear the truth about this trial. And the gag order unconstitutionally abridges President Trump's right to tell the American people the truth.
We're going to get Ryan's going to maybe highlight some comments from folks or questions in the chat here in just a second. But I feel like this debate that's going to be taking place Thursday, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody there at the Dave & Buster's sold out event. I don't know. It feels like if people were ill-intended, which Jay Tapper would never be, or the other one, Dana Bash?
Yeah.
Oh. Like, that's like a home field advantage there for Donald Trump. Of course, if they were looking to entrap Donald Trump and ask him questions that he couldn't answer, could he legally get himself in compromised trouble?
Yeah, potentially. He could hurt himself at sentencing. Judge Marchand could potentially hold him in contempt. He's held him in contempt for violations of the gag order
before. Is that
before.
A fee? Or is that a jail time? Because Trump might make an in-kind donation.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a fine. It could be jail time. That's what's so outrageous about this situation. In the history of the American Republic, no political candidate has ever been subjected to a gag order like we've seen against President Trump by any court in the country. And yet, in case after case after case, you have these leftist prosecutors who are trying to prevent President Trump from speaking openly about what they're doing to him.
Last question before we get to the questions Ryan's going to highlight from listeners. What's the percentage chance that Juan Marchand sentences Donald Trump to jail?
I don't think it's high. I think it would be highly, highly irregular. I think that any sentence here should be and likely would be stayed pending appeal. And we have very strong grounds for appeal. I've said publicly before, I don't think President Trump is going to end up being subjected to any sort of sentence whatsoever, whether it's probation, imprisonment, house arrest, anything like that. Because I think the second this case hits an appellate court, we're going to get it overturned in tota, just because of the numerous constitutional violations, evidentiary issues with the case from the start. So we feel very good about our chances of appeal, and we're ready to roll.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I don't think there's a realistic chance of that. Okay. I just think that in light of everything with this case, the issues with this case, the serious deficiencies with the way that the case was brought, it would be absolutely absolute madness for something like that to happen. And I don't think even Judge Mershon would go there.
Hope so. I hope that's the case. Ryan, you want to highlight some listeners?
Here we go. The first one from Edward. If the 11th Circuit were to overturn Judge Cannon for a third time, would they throw her off the case?
No.
Already, and moving on.
They don't have the ability to do that. That's not a realistic thing. But look, this is, again, you know, Democrats cheer when you get a radical leftist judge assigned to one of Trump's cases.
Yeah, and they clutch their pearls in the other situation.
In this case, you have a middle-of-the-road judge who's calling balls and strikes, who sees very serious issues with this prosecution and the way that it's being brought. And the left is crying foul because they're used to seeing President Trump railroaded at this point. And I think they're just disappointed that he's getting a fair shake in a fair courtroom.
Next one from Scooter says, Trump denied he had the documents. He tried to hide documents because of the search warrant.
That's just not true at all.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I don't know who Scooter is. Maybe he gets his news from MSNBC or something.
I think he does.
The factual record in this case, the factual record in this case is actually quite clear. After President Trump left the White House, there were boxes and boxes and boxes of his personal effects that were brought with him down to Mar-a-Lago. In those personal effects, in those boxes of personal documents, there were some documents that the Biden administration wanted back. That includes some documents, by the way, as I said before, that were shipped to President Trump by the Biden administration. President Trump was making diligent efforts to go through all of these materials, pull out the stuff that the federal government wanted back, and they returned binders and binders of documents. And then that process, that review process, was short-circuited by the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which I think was totally unwarranted. It should never have happened. There was no need for it. Again, I mean, Joe Biden had documents that he clearly wasn't entitled to have lying around in his garage for years and years and years, and nobody said boo about it. I mean, Mar-a-Lago is a Secret Service secured facility. There's no allegation that these documents got out, that there was any problem with them, other than the fact that the Biden administration thinks there were some documents that President Trump shouldn't have had. And then the conduct of the raid itself was just so highly irregular. I mean, you had agents come in who made no effort to maintain proper custody of the evidence, to maintain the evidence in any sort of condition that it would allow this case to go to trial. I think they were more concerned with the headline than they were with actually bringing a real legal case. Mm-hmm. And that's why this case is collapsing in court.
I'll admit this is a pretty broad question, so I'll ask it and I'll just leave it to you to interpret however you want. Jackie says, when will the Dems be prosecuted for doing the same freaking thing they're prosecuting Trump for?
Speaking from the heart and the soul, Jackie.
Yeah, no, I love you, Jackie. That's exactly the right question to be asking. I mean, what we're seeing here is a two-tiered system of justice where Hillary Clinton can hide tens of thousands of documents on a private server and never be held accountable for it, where Joe Biden can hide boxes and boxes of documents that he had absolutely no right to have in his garage for years, in offices, in random places for years, and is never going to be held accountable for that. And then with Donald Trump, because they are just so intent on interfering with his ability to run for president, we see him dragged into courtroom after courtroom after courtroom on these absolutely baseless legal theories. You want to talk about a two-tiered system of justice? That's what we're seeing here. And to me, that's the death knell of the republic. When you have political prosecutions like this, when you have the use of the courts of prosecution for political persecution, that's exactly the sort of thing our founders were terrified of. James Madison talked about the use by political faction of newfangled and artificial treasons to oppress their political opponents. That's what we're seeing here. Invented cases, invented legal theories, novel legal theories being rushed into court at a breakneck pace, all in an effort to interfere with the 2024 election. And Americans of all political stripes should see these efforts for what they are and reject them roundly.
It's only fair that I follow up a very broad question with a very specific one.
First of all, with Jackie's question, you said this was a pretty broad question, and I just kind of thought you were saying that Jackie was a pretty broad.
I am.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah. You have to remember, there's a triple meaning to everything I say.
Yeah, I know. And it's usually pretty crass.
It's 4D chess.
Walking around calling women broads.
Yeah, I think real deeply before I speak. Everybody knows that. The specific question for you is, I bet a dollar Scharf has cowboy boots on. Care to address?
I don't know who Scooter bet that dollar with, but he just won himself a dollar. I'm actually flat-footed, so I find cowboy boots very, very comfortable, and yeah. I'm usually wearing cowboy boots. So good guess, Scooter.
I'm going to say here, let's see, Edward followed up to his as well and said, can you ask Will if he'll elaborate on the 11th Circuit not being able to remove Cannon? Former Trump lawyer Ty Cobb says again.
Yeah, I don't know what Ty Cobb's talking about there. That would be highly, highly irregular. The mere fact that an appellate court may reverse a lower court judge, that happens all the time. That doesn't mean that they're going to go in and push her off the case or remove her from the case. I'd have to see the Ty Cobb interview that you're talking about there, but I just don't think that's real. I don't think there's any realistic chance of that.
Here's another question from a listener. It says, I'm curious about the appeals process. I think they're talking about the Manhattan case. Is there any chance an appellate court weighs in on the guilty verdict with an injunction or anything before sentencing? Is there any sort of appellate possibility that exists before that July 11th sentencing date?
So in order to appeal that case, or even in order to file most collateral challenges to that case, we need a formal entry of judgment, and that doesn't happen until the sentencing day.
Okay.
So I know to a lot of people it seems like things are moving slowly after the jury verdict and before sentencing. I promise you things are going to speed up quite remarkably the day that sentencing occurs. And we're planning to vigorously challenge the jury verdict here just because it's absolutely lawless. This case should have never been allowed to proceed to trial. There are so many issues with the way that the trial was conducted. We're going to seek to vindicate President Trump's rights in higher courts. And as I've said before, if we have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court to do that, we're going to, and we're going to win.
I have two questions left for you, and we've got 3 minutes left to go to answer them. The first one is on the presidential immunity trial, or case ruling that we're waiting for this week,
yeah.
I assume. And the second one is our YouTube live chat poll. Is Donald Trump a good man? Start with the immunity one. Do you have a day that you anticipate it coming down, and what do you expect to happen?
So the Supreme Court has decision days, 3 days this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It could potentially come down any of those days. My guess is that if it's this week, it'll be Friday. And I think the court could end up going into next week as well. We could see a decision day on Monday or Tuesday before July 4th. I think we're going to win. You know, we felt really good at oral arguments in that case. This is a case I've been working on in one way or another since last August. We feel as though the Supreme Court sees things our way, that not recognizing a doctrine of presidential immunity in the criminal context would cripple future presidencies forever, would fundamentally undermine our constitutional system of separation of powers. So we felt good coming out of oral argument. We're eagerly awaiting the opinion, and we'll see what they give us. But I would definitely put money on our side, not the other side right now.
You have less than 2 minutes.
Is Donald Trump a good man? Is that the next question?
We're asking today, is he a good man?
I will tell you, I've spent a lot of time with him in the last few months, and I'm constantly amazed by the fact that despite everything that they're throwing at him, he is upbeat. He's optimistic. I've seen him with his family. I think he's a great man, and I think he's done great things for this country, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can continue doing for the country.
Will Scharf, we always appreciate you coming in here. We're hearing your attorney general run for the state of Missouri is seeing some success. We've had Andrew Bailey in here as well. Two good people vying for this position. What do you want to tell people before the August primary to inform themselves? What do you want them to know?
Yeah, the polls show us climbing and they show Bailey stuck. And I think the people of Missouri are ready to reject the Jefferson City establishment this cycle. That's what we hear more than anything else as we get around the state, that folks are just sick and tired of the same special interest and lobbyist games that have occupied our capital for far too long. We're running an outsider campaign. We're excited by the support that we've gotten. We think we're going to have a great summer.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing what happens in August. And ultimately, this march towards the election, I think, is going to be such a white-knuckle ride for everybody who's involved. Will, you've been such a great contributor to our show, and we're so thankful every time you can come in here and hang out with us.
Always love being with you guys. Thanks
boots
a lot.
Boots and all. Do you want to endorse a certain kind of boots, or are you just like a boots guy?
I have a lot of different cowboy boots. I think this is actually a pair of Lucchese's right now, a very old, battered pair of Lucchese's.
What do you think about that, Ryan?
They're pricey, but they're great boots.
I'm fine with Lucchese's.
How do you spell that?
L-U-C-H-E-S-E.
I'm yep. hanging him out. Yeah,
that's
just, like that.
Just like that.
All right. We want to know what you think on the Andy Fry YouTube channel. How do you spell? Is Donald Trump a good man? Yes or no? You got to vote in this poll today on the YouTube Live, Andy Fry YouTube channel, in the live chat section, and leave a comment. You think yes? You think no? We want to know from you. We're going to take phone calls on this in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go away.